Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
Here on Naturally Savvy, we love to talk about the role of diet, nutrients, and being healthy. And one thing we haven't touched on, so I am so excited about today's show, is using diet nutrients and overcoming drug addiction. Well, we've got the wonderful Alex Zafaris, MD, MS. She is an integrative family physician and neuronutrient specialist practicing in San Francisco, California. She joins us now. Hello, Dr. Zafaris. Welcome to Naturally Savvy.
Hi, good morning.
It's so great to have you on. This is something that I haven't heard, and I actually used to be a hepatitis C educator about 15 years ago in a rehab, and I never once heard anyone talking about diet and nutrients, except actually I used to push them to let me give nutrition talks, and once in a while I could, but I didn't even really see the connection. So talk to us about this important connection.
Well, what we're finding more and more is, you know, the brain requires nutrients in order to heal and recover, and people who are in recovery for addiction, be it painkillers, heroin, alcohol, they're over time, after years of substance use, the brain changes. And in order for the brain to heal, we know from a lot of research that's been going on lately that the brain is deficient in people who are in recovery, for instance, from heroin addiction, in multiple key nutrients that the brain needs. And so it's just giving the brain what it needs to help it recover.
So what are those nutrients that they need? I mean, I'm assuming, and again, I don't know, that's why I'm asking, I'm assuming fats, because our brain is mostly made up of fat, but what are some of those nutrients? I'm eager, you've intrigued me.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, things like vitamin D, which is thought to be more of a hormone, mm-hmm. actually, is very nourishing for the brain. Fish oil, of course, there's been lots of research on fish oil as a brain nutrient, and it has clear impact on symptoms like depression, too. So some of these may be, you know, is the fish oil directly acting on the depression, which may be an underlying factor for many people, or is it helping the addiction? Because often addiction and depression or anxiety, you know, go hand in hand. So the things that help the underlying issues that led someone to use substances as a way to self-medicate and heal and deal, you know, can help the brain recover. So key vitamins like B vitamins, we're finding that about 30% of people have a genetic variation where they don't convert the B vitamins from the inactive form to the active form. And now we've got these genetic tests that we can actually start to test our patients and see, do you carry that genetic variation, which shows that you're not actually taking that B vitamin and converting it into the active form that your brain needs in order to make the neurotransmitters. So neurotransmitters come from food. They come from amino acids from the proteins in our diet. And how many of us are eating enough protein? How many of us are eating the standard American diet, which is, you know, a bagel or a muffin on the run with a cup of coffee and or skipping breakfast and, you know, something fast on the run that is pro-inflammatory for the brain. So things like high fructose corn syrup, trans fats, you know, these are pro-inflammatory. And so if someone's healing from a brain injury, which addiction basically is, you know, the brain has been injured and structurally changed from years of abuse, you know, the brain needs things that are anti-inflammatory, things that are healing. So we talk about food as medicine first, and then having, usually food isn't quite enough, and we add some specific nutrients too. And sometimes we add some specific amino acids too, because those are available, and those can make a big difference.
I love that you said about getting tested genetically. I really believe that all supplements should come with that type of testing, because how many of us are buying supplements on a regular basis and they might not even be doing anything for us, right? So it's kind of like we're throwing away our money. So how could people, and I guess they have to get genetic testing through your organization, or can anybody go? I know there's, is it 23andMe? Like, I don't know, there's a certain type of genetic testing that can be done, but what are ways that people can go about it?
Yeah, so just about supplements for a moment. You know, supplements aren't regulated in the same way that pharmaceutical drugs are. So because a bottle says that it's got 100 milligrams of methylcobalamin or 1,000 milligrams, micrograms, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what it contains. And
right.
So it's really important to not buy necessarily buy the cheapest thing, but to buy something from a company that does third-party testing to prove both safety and purity of their ingredients. So that's something that people don't necessarily think about. They just say, oh, I'm just going to go to the local store and get whichever's cheapest, but that may not be the best quality for you. So more and more integrative doctors are starting to look at these genetic testing options. 23andMe does some. There is some third-party websites that you can go to then put your 23andMe raw data through in order to get your SNPs. Those are the single nucleotide polypeptides, these little kind of bits that tell us how well you're detoxifying or how well you're methylating. Methylation is the key step mm-hmm. that we look at with this MTHFR variation. And about 30% of us have a variation where we're not methylating, and you need that. So to make hormones as well, to make your sex hormones, testosterone, to make safe forms of estrogen and progesterone in your body, as well as all the neurotransmitters that your brain needs. So it's, you know, I basically, rather than testing a patient, sometimes to save money, I will just assume that they've got a genetic variation, to be honest, and I just put them on the methylated forms of the vitamins because it's only a little bit more money, and then it's just you save a step.
Dr. Seferis, tell us a bit about recoverysuperstar.com. I really love this program. I think it can make such a difference in people's lives.
Thank you. You know, the standard treatment for addiction is abstinence-only programs, you know, maybe doing some sort of detox. But people aren't given this all of this other information about what does the brain need to heal and recover. You know, therapy, that's a mainstay of recovery, and if you can get someone to do it. But this other piece, I haven't really seen it being taught to people with addiction and recovery in any other way. And, you know, in my one-on-one practice with patients, there's only so many people I can reach. So I put all this together on a website that people can do a self-directed program that is designed to go 3 months, weekly lessons that people can go online and do at their own pace, and so that they can learn what is it that their brain needs to heal and recover. And it's a way to reach more people. Now we've got the internet, and so why not use it? The other piece is to start connecting people, too, because so much of this is people feel like they're alone. There's so much shame. There's so much of people feeling like they're the only one. You know, how could I let this happen to me? And healing that shame and people starting to connect with each other for support is really a huge part of the healing as well.
We have about a minute left, but I'm curious. So for those people who are listening and saying, well, wait a second, I don't have an addiction or this isn't for me, who are you targeting and who can take it? What about someone with anxiety or someone with lots of stress? Who can go and go log onto your website and really benefit from taking it, from working with you?
I'm targeting people who are in recovery for addiction to prescription painkillers and heroin, because it's a huge problem that there isn't a lot of discussion around. But to be honest, the same issues that apply to this population applies to people who have depression, anxiety, and other mood disorders. So many of the same issues come up, and so it wouldn't take very much for me to tweak the website to just take out the language around opiate addiction, and it would be pretty much the same content. So these are universal ideas.
And I think that's a good idea, because there's so many people who have, you know, depression, anxiety, stress, that, you know, why limit it to people, especially if it's available for, or if it's useful for other people as well. And anyways, I think it's super fascinating, Dr. Zafiris. I think you're brilliant, and thank you so much for being on our show today. And again, you know, the website, you can go check it out, is recoverysuperstar.com. You could also follow Dr. Zafiris on Twitter at dr_ZAPHIRIS. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone, and be sure to check out old interviews from Lisa and I. There's lots of them up there. If you go to radiomd.com/naturally savvy, they're all there. Stay well and happy holidays.